Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So the story. It is a story that we know. It is a story that brings great peace and comfort to all of us. But think about it. This story has very little in what we think about as the Easter story. Why is it just short? Why does it end with they fled in fear and told no one? Had they told no one, we wouldn't hear about this. They must have told someone. But why? Why does the story end like this? Well, for many, many, many generations, people have wondered that. So other people have added on to Mark. They think that because it ended right there, they need to add more onto it. And really, literally, it's not needed. The story ends. We know the story. It has stones in it. It has people in it. It has good news in it. He is not here. He is not here. But the women, they were talking, how are we going to get that big, huge stone rolled away? And when they get there, they find that it's already rolled away. They didn't have to worry about it. Easter comes every year. Now, last year, I wasn't so sure that Easter was going to come. Last year was just right after my mom had died. And I was in the midst of Lent, in the midst of a lot of grief, and I was pretty sure that Easter was not going to come. And so I was talking with a friend and a colleague of mine, and he went, "Yes, Easter comes every year." I said, "Well, you haven't lost your mom yet." He's like, "Yes, I know, but Easter comes every year." You know what? He's right. Easter comes. Easter comes amidst and amongst all of the grief, all of the stuff of everyday life. Easter comes. And Easter comes, and it can be dangerous because it changes us. It transforms us. Easter changes who we are. We become Easter people, and we can't be the same if we are Easter people. You know, I like to walk in the woods a lot. And as I walk in the woods, I was thinking about this story, and I always look for branches or rocks or all kinds of stuff as I'm walking along the path. And the path, the journey leads us along the way. So as I'm walking along the path, I'm always looking for stones. And I find a stone, and I'm like, "Oh, I don't like this one," so I throw it away. When I find the right stone, I know I'm going to hang on to it. It's going to be something that is so important to me that I'm going to hang on to it. So I look, and there's more stones, and I throw them away, and there's more stones, and there's more stones. And there's, but then I find the right one. And I'm looking and I'm like, "Oh, this is the right one." And oh, I threw it away. That's kind of what Easter, if we don't transform ourselves, feels like. We think that we're throwing it away. But Easter always comes. No matter what, Easter comes. It's kind of like, you know, we're part of the story. Because if you look at Mark, it ends here, but then go back to the beginning of Mark, it's a continuation of right at the end of this chapter. Right where I said the women left in fear and trembling and they told no one. And at the very beginning of the story of Mark is, and this is the story. This is the Word of God. It's a continuous story, and we are part of that story. We can throw the stones away all we want, but we are part of the story. And it's how we live our lives, how we're transformed because we are Easter people, that shows who we are in the risen Christ. So where do you go Where do you go to experience Jesus? Where are you part of the story? What happens next is up to you in your own lives. Just like what happens next is up to me. Did I think that Easter was going to come last year? No, I did not. But it did. It came amongst the grief. Just like the women who went to the tomb, Easter came. They didn't see it. We see it. I'm going to share some words out of Whistling in the Dark. It's by Frederick Buechner, and he says it great, so I figured why reinvent the wheel and say it again. But Frederick Buechner is a theologian, and this is how he explains some things. The Gospels are far from clear as to just what happened. It began in the dark. The stone had been rolled aside. Matthew alone speaks of an earthquake. In the tomb, there are two white-clad figures, or possibly just one. There was a man. Mary Magdalene seemed to have gotten there before anybody else. The man she thought was there first was the gardener, maybe. Perhaps Mary, the mother of James, was with her, and another woman named Joanna. One account says that Peter came and with the other disciples. Elsewhere, the suggestion is that there are only the women and the disciples who were among, and nothing else. They didn't believe the women's story when they heard it. There was the sound of people running, of voices. Matthew speaks of great fear and great joy. Confusion was everywhere. There is no agreement, even as to the role of Jesus himself. Did he appear at the tomb, or was it later? Where? To whom did he appear? What did he say? What did he do? You see, it's not really a major production at all. There's minor attractions that we've created around it, the bunnies, the baskets, the bonnets, the dyed eggs. They really have so little to do with what it's about that they neither add much nor subtract from the story. It's not really even much of a story when you come right down to it. And that is the power of it. It doesn't have the ring of a great drama. It has the ring of truth. If the gospel writers had written to tell it in a way to convince the world that Jesus indeed rose from the dead, they would presumably have done it with as much skill and fanfare that they could muster. But here, there's really no skill, no fanfare. They seem to be telling it simply the way it was. The narrative is fragmented. It's shadowy, it's incomplete as life itself. When it comes to just what happened, there's really no certainty. That something unimaginable happened, there can be no doubt about that. You see, the symbol of Easter is an empty tomb. You can't depict it or domesticate emptiness. You can't make it into pageants and string it up with lights. It doesn't really move people to give many presents to each other or really even to sing old songs, even though we have favorites that are Easter songs. It kind of ebbs and flows all around us, kind of like a butterfly that flies in and out and around us. The things we know, he rose. A few saw him briefly and they talked to him. If it's true, then there's nothing left to say. If it's not true, there is nothing left to say. See, for believers and unbelievers alike, life has never been the same again. For some, neither has death. What is left now is the emptiness. There are those who, like Mary Magdalene, will never stop searching till they find his face. You see, we are part of the story. It doesn't end. It's life-altering, life-changing good news. Nothing ever can be the same again when we live as good news Easter people. You see, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.